Okay. If I didn't bring last time's Makoros, so I hope I recall correctly that we had finished everything on last time's Makoros except for Rashi, those two Rashis. Okay, so the question is, what does Rashi hold about the relationship between Lo Yira and Lo Yimotze? So let's start with a Rashi and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. There's a Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Let's give some context. The Gemara says that Kol Shah Shemoter Lechol Machol Behemel Chayel Ofos. Right, that during the time you're allowed to eat chametz, you're allowed to feed it to behema, chaya, and ofos. And the Gemara discusses why you need to say behema and chaya and ofos. And one of the lines of the Gemara, the one that's relevant for us, is that the Gemara says if it had only said behema, if it had only said chaya. You might have thought it was mutter to feed a chaya, because if a chaya leaves over, it'll hide it. Okay, I'm not an expert in chayas and behemos, but they were. They lived an agricultural lifestyle. So a chaya, if it leaves over from lunch, it hides it. As opposed to behemos, just leaves it begolui. So a chaya will be hidden. But a behema will leave it open. You might forget to burn it and violate by Rabbi Yimatze. So apparently, when the chaya hides its leftover food, that is a problem. So the question becomes, that is not as chomer. The behema is a problem, so it leaves it going. But the chaya bitzina is not such a problem. So the question is, why is the chaya b'tzina not such a problem? So there are many different opinions here. One of them is Rashi. Says Rashi, and there are two versos in Rashi. Rashi says, the third class Rashi, of Chafal Chum Aleph, B'itan Achaya, Hava Amina, Hi Atifa. Achaya is more mutter to feed, Mishum B'ima Shirex, even if it leaves over, Matz, the love of the Lord, but like Vayera, and there's no Isra Vayera because it leaves over. In the Masoros HaShas, it says, Sfar Machirim, Nihi Da'ar B'Yimatze, B'Yera Lo Avar. Granted, there'll be an Isser by Yimatze, but there won't be an Isser by Yirah. So according to that, that's Sfar Machirim Gersa. I have no idea which Gersa of Rashi is the correct Gersa, I'm sorry to say. But according to that Gersa, Rashi says clearly, if you have hidden chametz, it's an Isser by Yimatze, but it's not an Isser by Yirah. That corresponded to the, I forget which number, Shita in that we had in order of the board. But let's say Rashi, what does he say? Tamun is Balyimotse, but it's not Balyimraya, right? Assuming he's not that radical Yeshom in the Ritva, that doesn't make any sense. That's against our Gemara. It has to mend you yourselves. So then, that would be clear. So what's his shita? Then clearly his shita is that, I don't remember exactly how we had the word last time, Lo Yira includes only Goy in Batim and Yuvim, and Lo Yimatze includes even Tamun in Batim and Yuvim. Meaning there's no difference between Batim and Gvulim. The difference between the two, both lavim equally apply to all places, whether it's in your house or your backyard. The only difference is that Lo Yimatze means even if it's Taman, Lo Yira means only if it's visible. So visible chametz to double lav, Lo Yira, Lo Yimatze, and hidden chametz to single lav of Lo Yimatze. And that's what the Gemara say. You would have a havami, they let you feed a chaya, because even if you forget to burn the leftovers, you'll only violate one lav. Okay, I have some uncomfortableness with this Gersa in Rashi, because I'm uncomfortable with this Gersa in Rashi, because you can tell me if you agree with my intuition. But like, who cares? Like, why is it okay to violate one lav? Like, oh, you can feed a chai, the havmin is feeding a chai is okay, because the verse comes to rest, you'll only violate one lav, not two. But feeding behema is terrible, because if behema leaves over, it'll be gully and you'll violate two lav. Like, why is it like we should only make exer against violating two lav and we shouldn't make exer against violating one lav? It just doesn't seem to make sense in the halachic system. that, oh, we should make zera. Even as a hobby, make zera, you don't want to violate two lavim. But if you'll only violate one lav, we don't need to make zera. It's not such a big deal to violate one lav. One lav, two lav, are both in the realm of lavim. I find that very strange.
I saw the book on the next question. It says that because there's two lavim, so that the asse can't be demanded both. There's one lav that can. So then, malchus
was very clever or chadash. Very clever or chadash. Says the or chadash based on the, okay, this is my folks are showing. But in the beginning of Temura, it says that one asse, it's he's assuming Rashi's like Tosa. It says Lavanit Lasei. That's actually not an assumption. Rashi and Sadi, he says it's a Lavanit Lasei. So Rashi of Lavanit Lasei, if it's a Lavanit Lasei, the Gemara says one Asei can't be Menatek two Lavin. So what do you have to say? One Asei can't be Menatek two Lavin, but it can be Menatek one Lav. So therefore, one Lav is not so bad because the Asei, it's a Lavanit Lasei. So it's not so bad. But two Lavin is really bad because then it's not a Lavanit Lasei. What does he say? Lo Yiraya is, that's true. Rashi there does sound like, and Tosos also. Oh, what to do with the one lava to what says? I don't know. We'll have to answer that. But you're right. Meaning Adarab, if Rashi that Sadiye says lava needs a glace, doesn't it sound like it's the Menatek both them? I don't know. No, lava dafka, because what's the comparison? The comparison, Tosos holds, clearly Asei is Menatek both Lavin, because Tosos holds his head to gummer to keep coming, so I'm going to ask the Levar. But Rashi said, he's just saying, the Bryce has to compare two similar things. You have to find a way in which they're similar, not to drive a halach conclusion, just the Bryce will put two things similar, right? And what's it similar? Oh, this is similar to this, because the Lavin needs to go Asei. So it could be, Bahi Raz Lavin needs to go Asei, Bahi Matzah Lavin needs to go Asei. And if you put them together, they can both be needs to go Asei. But it doesn't matter. It's enough to be similar to Lo Yashiru Menuat Boker. So I'm not sure you have a proof. That's a very clever Or Chadash. Okay, so the Or Chadash wants to defend his Girsa. That wants to defend his Girsa and say that that's what Rashi meant. And say that that's what Rashi meant. I want to say, and then even our Girsa, you could say it's the same thing, right? What about Rashi? What does it say? It says, Mihi, the Avar, I forget the exact Lashon. Al Yimatze, Avalo Avar, Al Bal Yerame. Right? But how about our Girsa? Rashi, Avchaf Amad, Lefi, Girsas Hadfus. Right? According to the printing of Girsa. It just says, Lo Avar Al Bal Yerame. Lo Avar Al Bal Yerame. Right? So what do you do with that Gersa of Rashi? So, Minastam, that Gersa of Rashi, human and same as the other Gersa of Rashi. You weren't violated, but you didn't violate by your but you did violate by your Matze. And Bednar says it doesn't make any sense, because why is it better to violate one lav than two? So, okay, the Orchadosh answers, because of a holundus of lava needs to say, which could very well be. Okay, so you could say that it means the same. Right? Both yourselves are saying the same thing. Just one says it partially and one says it fully, but they both mean the same thing. They both mean that here we find the Baal Hashita that if it's the Baal Hashita that, I mean, this is what the Kazmish says the Rambam holds. Which we weren't sure if we accepted. But here Rashi holds that Nira, visible Chametz is two lavim and hidden Chametz is one lav. And there's no difference between Batu and Fulim. The case that Rashi says, I mean, the case where you see it, so Rabbi's saying that maybe you could claim the Rashi means that the lava by Yerah is also the Nita Klasei. Taco, you put both of them together, so you lose the Nita Klasei. But that's not relevant for the discussion in Sadi Hay. Sadi Hay just needed to say there's an Indian of Nita Klasei.
I'm saying, even though the case is talking about the case where you see it.
Yeah, he just needed to call it Nita Klasei. He didn't need to say that Halach Lomaisa ends up being Nita. Just has to be called Nita Klasei. It's called Nita Klasei, even though practically it's going to have a problem. Okay, we can defend the Orchash. Anyway, the But I thought maybe Rashi meant something a little different. Which is, maybe Rashi means, I know it's going to sound crazy at the time, is one possibility. The other possibility is, right, we're not sure what Aaron Gersa means. Now the Ur Chodesh has ruined the whole proof. So you could say he means just like the second Gersa, or he said it means no. It means that if it's not seen, then there's no love at all. I know you can say that's impossible, right? But that's what it sounds like. It sounds like if you don't see it, if it's not seen, there's no love at all. Now, why would I think, even though obviously we're going to have to explain more, that's impossible. We know Talmud is usher. Why would I think that that's Pshat and Rashi? Because the other Rashi and Vav Amud Aleph. Let's turn to Rashi and Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, we'll get to the sugya soon enough, but what does the sugya say in Vav Amud Aleph? The sugya says that if I leave house, if I leave home within 30 days of Pesach, I have to be medubir chametz. But if I leave home more than 30 days before Pesach, before Purim, let's say, then I don't have to worry, unless Daito Lachzor. Rashi says, unless I'm planning to come home during Pesach. If I'm planning to come home during Pesach, then even if I leave at Rosh Hashanah, I have to clean my house first. Why do I have to clean my house just because I'm planning to come home during Pesach? Meaning, the fact they'll be coming to my house is not a problem. The problem is that I'll come home. What's the problem if I'll come home? Says Rashi, Dibur Masechta Fil Marshananami, fourth class Rashi, on Daf, Vav Amud Aleph. D'chichad Mei Mei Pesach, you have to do Rashi here, when you come home during Pesach, Avar Aleha, it'll be an Aveira. Interestingly, Rashi thinks it's only an Aveira if you come home during Pesach, right? If you don't go home during Pesach, it's not an Aveira. This chametz in your house is not an Aveira if you stay in France. Actually, Rashi's home is France. It's not an Aveira if you stay in England, but it is an Aveira if you come home. Okay. And at that time, it's already not in your shus. It's too late to be mivatel. Shari Yisra Anahu, Ve'eno Shalom, right? We all know. I mentioned a few times, the Gemara in Daf, Bava Beis. Not Yisra Anah. It's too late to be mivatel. So now what are we talking about? We're talking about a case where you didn't do bittel, right? Too late to do bittel. You get home, it's too late to do bittel. So there's no bittel. There should be all your Abayimah to go right side. There's only Bayi Rabba Yimotze Doraisa if you come home. If you don't come home, there's no Bayi Rabba Yimotze, which is, there's no Issa Doraisa, which it now explains. If I leave home, not within 30 days, if I leave home before Purim, I leave home on Tainus Esther, or for that matter, on Tu B'Shvat, or for that matter, on Rosh Hashanah. I leave home a long time before Pesach. If I'm going to come home during Pesach, there'll be no Bittul, there'll be an Issa Doraisa. If I don't come home during Pesach, there won't be an Issa Doraisa. Why is there only an Issa Doraisa if I come home, says Rashi? Kishra'ahu over Aleha. When I see it, then it's an Issa D'Oraisa. What does Rashi say here? Meaning, he's not the Issa D'Rabbana. So he says there's no Bittul, right? It's too late to do Bittul. Without Bittul, it's only an Aveira when I come home and see it. When I'm away from home, there's no Aveira. So what does that mean? That means that it's only an Issa D'Oraisa when I see it. When I don't see it, there's no Issa D'Oraisa. And don't say here it means one lav versus two lav. No, there's no problem at all, right? You're not over, right? Here, clearly, Rashi sounds like, right, says, Rashi, that only, what's his lashon? It's only without bittel. Ki hadar bay over ale, right? Without bittel. You're only over when you come home. That's what he says in Hunter Bay. Ukesheh ra'ahu. And when you see it. So what does that sound like? It sounds like if you don't see it, there's no Isser at all. And here you can't say he means, oh, there's only lo yimotzi and not lo yirah. Because he says there's no Aveira, right? There's no Aveira. What's halach lemaisa? According to Rashi, I'm not talking any other Rishonim. All the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi here. Disagree a little less, right? Basically, there's a bunch of Rashis on the Vav and Aleph that no one agrees with. But Rashi says, if I leave home on Tainus Esther and I'm not coming home at all, there's no chash of Nisud Araisa, because I don't see it. If I plan to come home on Pesach, there's a chash of Nisud Araisa, because I'm going to see it. Sounds like there's only an issue when you see it.
What's
that? Ah, so five will gives me Marshal Mardech. I was waiting for someone to say Marshal Marsha. They don't see it. It's all Marshal Marsha. So the question is, what do you do with this Rashi, right? Because this Rashi sounds very strange. It sounds very strange because what do you mean? That if you don't, it's only us if you see it, right? That's not true. That's what we thought until we had Bal Yimotze, and then it says, Bal Yatmin, you're not allowed to hide your chametz. So
maybe like the Harab Rabbi says, I'm in Meltzer, that if he's away from such a long time, it's an automatic yushlik. And only when he sees it, he's not Nidyayish anymore.
Ah, maybe like, that's what Mr. Zalman says. He says, like, you're mafker at Ki'ilo if you're away a long time, you're zoch it again when you come home. That's a lot to read into Ukshira Ahu. Let's see what the Marshal says. He says, first of all, he makes so kibda. You didn't know there was chametz. Just you know, you didn't clean. Okay. Et cetera, et cetera. But still, he says that so what's the case that you didn't know there was you didn't know there was chametz there. Okay, you didn't know there was chametz there. You didn't know there was chametz there, so what? So then the Marsha says that there is that it's talking about that you're only over when you come home and don't do bittel. Okay, so let's see what the Marshal says. What does the Marshal say here? The Marshal says, if they'll see, there's no lav at all. Oh, it doesn't make sense. It can't be. So says the Marshal, no, it doesn't mean that. Okay, well, maybe we'll see if we find for the Marshal. It doesn't mean that, stam, whenever you don't see chametz, there's no iser. That's called bal yatmin. Rather, what it means is that chametz sheni yodua, b'safik shlo yodah b'vadeh sheish lo chametz veso. You don't know b'vadeh there's chametz in your house. And therefore, you're only over when you know there's chametz. So what? You don't know there's chametz. You're only over when there's no. Why are you only over when you know there's chametz? Why are you only over when you know there's chametz?
It's not
any rishus in your house. What do you mean? You have to have some knowledge that it was yours, as it were. So now the truth is there are some achronim who want to read this Marashal and say, but it means because you're an anus until you know. And therefore, it's not your fault until you know you're an anus because what were you supposed to do? I don't think that's possible. Shout out to Marashal here or Rashi here. It doesn't make any sense. Because what do you mean you're an anus? You could have just done bittul wherever you are. And don't say, remember, there was a Maram Chalava and Rabbi Yudav in different words says, well, you can still be honest even if you didn't do bittul, because the Torah never told you to do bittul. Or the Rashi, the Torah told you to do bittul. Tashmisa. So you can't say I'm an honest. Shah is that, what does the Marshal say? Now again, the Marsha, you're right. Marsha gives a very dochot green in Rashi. What does the Marsha say? Says the Marsha, I think it's very dochot. I'm not sure why the Marshal thought it was a good shot. He says, no, it means that you're only over when you come home and see it and don't do bittul, as opposed to doing bittul. Okay, at five, well, it's your fault. I put the Marsha on the board because I don't even understand what the Marsha is saying. Like, he works in the beginning of Tosfos, of Rashi, but he never even quotes the words. at the end of Rashi, even though he quotes from Arshdala, he says, Rashi didn't mean that until you come home and see it, you don't over. He means that if you wouldn't come home and see it and would have done bittul, then you're not over. But if you come home and see it and don't do bittul, then you're over. I just don't know how to read that into Rashi Bithal. I don't know why
you
put it in the board.
You did bittul already, so you're not over until you come back. Right?
And then?
Is that
what he says? That's what the that's what the Marshal says? Let's see. That's what the Marshal says at the end, in addition to what he said until then. Meaning, after you saw Vadei coming to you, Vadei coming to Vesa, but you're Yotzi with Bittol, but if you're planning to come home during Pesach, then maybe you'll forget to do Bittol, and then when you come home, you'll violate Bar Yira. Why only when you come home? Even before you go, I don't understand this Marsha. You're confusing Marsha with the end of Marsha. I don't understand the Marsha.
How could he say you do Bittol when you come home? It's already, you can't do Bittol on Pesach.
No, if
you
didn't do it beforehand, you must know about it. If you wouldn't come home and see it, you would have done Bittol, and then you wouldn't be over. But when you come home and see it and didn't do Bittol, you're over. But he's like,
come home before Pesach.
Yeah, he doesn't say what you said. He said,
yeah, he's not enough today. I don't know if I necessarily is gonna have an answer, but it's not that someone's Rashi will only days from that holy affair. Shivata, their Rashi is a comment that also always from Japan. That Rashi says you have to be Kasalaya and to be show out like Rega F. So that's a similar kind of, I guess, idea of Rashi that. This holding chametz that you didn't get rid of yet doesn't violate anything. You need to acknowledge it and want it.
Correct. Although that case could be maybe you have to. Well, that's when you did see it, right? That's when you did see it. After you saw it, then it depends what you think. So, okay, let's hold that thought for a second. Anyway, I don't really understand this. You can work out this Marsha on your own. You could say, I don't know how to work out the Marsha. Right, says maybe there's another explanation of the Ptur because of Bittul, which again, I don't understand. If the Ptur is Bittul, why do you say when you see it, you're over in it? He should have said when you don't do Bittul, you're over in it. Oh, because seeing it is the same as not doing Bittul. How is seeing it the same as not doing Bittul? Or Ones, which I also don't understand, which some of the Chorim want to say, how is it an Ones until you see it? You could have just said Bittul. And the Torah said Tashbisu, which means Bittul. Even though we want to say against Tosa, the Torah said Tashbisu is Bittul or burning. Okay, I don't have another explanation for Rashi. Clearly, Rashi means if it's not seen, you don't violate at all. Of that doesn't make sense, so we have to go with the Marshal. Right? So what does the Marshal add? And this, of course, could then go back. If you're not seeing this, no lav at all, says the Marshal. Kevan de Aina Yodea. Kevan de Aina Yodea. What's his lashon? Okay, maybe just Aina Yodea. Right? Bevadai. That when Rashi says you only violate if you see, seeing, the point is not that you have to see it to violate. No, clearly Talmud is Valyor Valyumatze. The point is you have to know about it to violate. You have to know about it to violate. And you don't know what chametz you have in your house until you come home and see it. When you're in Medina Sayyam for 6 months, you don't know what chametz you have in your house. Now, that would then work. Go back to Rashi Daf Chafal from Aleph, if that's the only possible shot. Meaning, maybe you feel further than that, but at least this is the only possible shot now, even though Daniel Shemin had an Or Chodesh, which ruined my disproof. But I still think I'm right in Rashi Daf Chafal. Because if Rashi and Daf Vav, the only reasonable shot is to say that when you don't see it and you don't know about it, you don't violate anything, then now that's shot and Daf. This is the only good shot. Now, it's a Raya for that this is the shot in Daf Tafalif as well, against the Svar Machir. Because if Rashi and Daf Vav holds that if you don't see it and you don't know where it is, you don't violate anything, Midoraisa, then Rashi Daf Chafalf also has to hold that if you don't see it and you don't know where it is, you don't do any Aveira. And if a Chaya hit it, you don't know where it is. right? You don't know bavada you have it. Eim shayra. So also you don't know bavada you have it or where it is. So Rashi shita is that. What is Rashi now? What does Rashi mean in Daf Chafal from an Aleph? He means not like because the Mishnah shot the Rambam in the first shot. If I'm not mixing up the order in the the third shot, whatever it was in the Rebbeinu David, however it was on the board here. No, Rashi means that if you don't see it, because you hit it, if you don't see it because you're not aware of it, you're not in charge, you're not in control of it, if you don't, not only don't you see with your eyes, you don't even see it intellectually with your knowledge, then you don't violate anything. What Rashi is saying here is adarava, the opposite of what the Sfarim Achirim are saying in Rashi. Lo Yiram, Lo Yimatzeh are the same thing. Lo Yiram, Lo Yimatzeh are unified. What do we learn from Lo Yiram? From Lo Yimatzeh, we see that Lo Yiram is lav dafka seeing. It's knowing, including being matmeh. And from Lo Yiram, you see that Lo Yimatzeh is lav dafka existing. It's only existing in your knowledge. So I think adrab, I think the pshat is the opposite as far as here, Lenny is deity, in which case Rashi is pshat, that really Rashi is like what we think is pshat in the Rambam. Agav, there's a Magid Mishnah, also says it's pshat in the Rambam and Rebbeinu David, etc. That really Rashi is like the Rambam we didn't mention. We mentioned that also was something is a Magid Mishnah, who's against the Kesef Mishnah, who doesn't answer the question. Like Rashi, where's that Magid Mishnah? Okay, I'm going to find it now. That Lo Yiroeh and Lo Yimatzeh are the same. If Lo Yiroeh and Lo Yimatzeh are the same, then they must mean the same thing. If they're the same, then what? If they're really the same, oh, but they're different words. No, Lo Yiroeh equals knowledge, not vision, because it's the same as Lo Yimatzeh, and Lo Yimatzeh equals knowledge, not existence, and therefore, when Rashi says lo avra lo yira, he means also lo avra lo yimatzeh. Lo yira lo yimatzeh mean the same thing. Laskana. Rashi says ro'ehu over love. He means yeah, you're not over until you're ro'ehu. What meaning ro'ehu? The meaning of ro'ehu. That's fine by combining by yira by yimatzeh. But in the end, yimatzeh and yira mean the exact same thing because in the end they're the exact same love. And therefore, I think Rashi is the opposite of his far Mechirim, based on the Rashi in Davav, you're right, only based on that Rashi. I guess now the Or Chodesh, I would have swallowed my objection. Anyway, Kach Nirlani is Daiti Shitas Rashi, that he holds a run, you must mean the same thing, and that's why Lo Yira really means Lo Avra on anything. And then you don't need the Dachuk answer, or the clever answer, at least, I shouldn't say it's Dachuk, of the Or Chodesh Nafaf Aleph. And that's basically what the Marshal is saying, or what I think the Marshal is saying. He doesn't say what his far is. He just says, this fact differentiates this case from that case. He doesn't say why, but my opinion, I think that's the only good explanation of the Marshal on Daflav.
Yeah, how can we say that
the Aleph
is the same as Daflav? We are talking about a case that logically you don't necessarily know about the Aleph, but Daflav Aleph.
No, you don't. The Gemara says, Imashaira, if it leaves over, it will hide it. Your animal might or might not leave over, and if it leaves over, it'll hide it. Just like when you leave your house in Rosh Hashanah, you might or might not have chametz on your house, in your house.
The whole chashash there. We know that the
chametz
exists.
No. Yeah, so, but right now...
No,
I don't understand. And Dafav, you know there was chametz in your house at some point. You don't know if there was any left over or not. You don't know you ever had bread in your house enough of? You know you had bread in your house 2 days ago. You don't know if there's any left. I know I served bread yesterday for lunch. I just don't know if it was all eaten or if some of it fell in a horn of stocking. I think it is similar enough. I know I used coming to my house all year long. I don't know if it all got taken care of or if some of it got left somewhere.
What are you being
bodig for? Ah, that's an interesting question. What are you being bodig for? After all, if you say there's only, basically what I'm saying is that there's only a Siddurah, but you're only going to say, if you see it or it's, you were toming it, right? You put it somewhere, right? Ah, so what are you doing Bedika for? After all, the Bedika, the Chorn is stuck in. It could be that the Bedika Doraisa, that Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda Matze, is, Chorn is stuck in doesn't mean that it's not an era, right? Chorn is stuck in.
I'm just saying, when you learn this, I don't know, when you go to the Gemara, they're like, almost from Athenian, it doesn't sound like you know you're coming from there.
Yes, but it's also not hidden. Meaning, you're not looking for chametz that's mutman, that's hidden. You're looking for chametz that's visible, right? You're looking for chametz that's visible. He doesn't say you have to.
But if I remember, that's a mean knowledge. Like,
you know, aha, you're saying I went too far. When I say knowledge, after all, if it's visible, that also is worth something. Because otherwise, what am I searching for? When Rashi says that bedika is the rice of ba'yirabayimatze, so maybe I have to go. Maybe I have to think so. What do you mean by lo yirah? That it's not visible. That maybe what I should say is that that what is lo yirah lo yimatze? Lo yirah lo yimatze means that it is matzoi can mean existing, or matzoi can mean that it's accessible to me. Like I have, you know, I know where to find it. And it could be that there are two ways that it's accessible to me. Either I'm going to see it, or I know where I hid it. So maybe I should say, maybe you're right. I shouldn't say, we lost some knowledge, because then what am I doing to think of for? I should just sit and think about what I know. And by definition, what I can't think of, I don't know. Unless you want to get very epistemological. You mean to say the Bayrabba Yamatsi Shema Yimsa Guskri Faithia. Do you mean that Rashi, right? We saw this in the Shemuel Elected, right? Does Rashi mean Shem Yitzhak Guski Fefer? Does Rashi mean even now? So, okay, Lo Yerua doesn't mean visible. This clearly doesn't mean existing. That's clear. Rather, what they both mean is maybe accessible. This is similar to what Tosa says in Matzoi, just Rashi saying that Matzoi and Dashkofala, accessible or known, right? So we're not sure whether to say Bible's shot. All right, so it means accessible or known. I might even go so far as to say, here I'm going out on a limb. I wonder if you could take the Marshal, you could go further than the Marshal, and you could say, even if you had Vaday Chomitz, you still don't violate by Rabbi Matzoi for Medina Sayam, because it's not accessible to you. It's not something you're going to see or something that you know how to find it, but it's not something you can open up and find. But maybe that's going too far. I'm not going to go out on a limb. We'll stick with the Marshal.
I think the Torah actually says that it's the same thing as Nafalo.
No, but that's what the Marshal says, but he says, and that means you need to do Bittul. So that's not going to help for this line of Rashi.
But if you look at
Rashi,
you
learn
that the
Bittul
is not an
error
of him. I mean, it's not a problem. Oh, what, in the Sugimapolis? Yeah. Rashi just learned that Bittul just means that
wrong. Mapolis is only checked by the Saotu. No, the Marashah compares Mapolis also to this case. I see. Meaning, if the Bittul here is also only in case you go home. I see what you're saying. So it could be that what's the point of the polis? The point of the polis is that it's not accessible to you. So maybe here also, it's not accessible to you. Why is it not accessible to you? Okay, so maybe just because it's far away. Shara'u means...
That's
not one of the camp accessible. No, but what I'm claiming is that Rashi doesn't shara'u when you actually see it. Sure, when you get to a place, you can see it, right? So you're right. That's a good hara that Rashi and Shitase. I didn't think of putting them together. Maybe you go even further, or maybe you could say, and you have to see if the Torah is committing himself to this or not. If he says that the Mapolis is similar to the Medina Sayam, or only to the Otsar, I have to look at the Lashon. Do you remember the Lashon?
Uh-huh,
okay. So maybe, let's say, or maybe, afilu yodea kol she'eino nagishlo. Nagish means accessible, right? After all, she's a midin sayam, right? So here, Rashi, what I'm claiming in Rashi is that Ra'ohu is not davka seeing. It doesn't really make a difference if you see or not. That's my main shot in Rashi, is that Rashi, thankfully, you're only must say the same thing, therefore he reinterprets the Rigei, like Raina Dava points out, to mean not visible, but like something you could theoretically see, reinterprets the Rigei Rahya, I mean not that it's there, but that it's something which you could easily see, and therefore only something which you can easily see, right? Which is easily accessible, let's call it, for the sake of argument, is lo yira and lo yimotze, and that's what Rashi means, is dafchav aleph, let's just chazer, that since it's not nireh, that doesn't mean you don't see it. If you don't see it, it's still an aveira d'oraisa. What it means is you don't see it and you're not, you don't have an easy ability to like, to uncover it and see it. You can't easily get to it to see it. Therefore, it's not an issue d'oraisa at all, and that means dafchav also. Shira olu doesn't necessarily mean when you see it. Means when you come home and now you're someplace where you can easily see it, even if you have to close your eyes, or even if it's in your bedroom and you have to come and set it to your living room, that would still be an issue d'oraisa because now it is accessible to you. But Medina Sayama wasn't accessible to you. Maybe only if you didn't know it was there because it wasn't known to you. That's Bible / Marshall. Or maybe just so it wasn't accessible to you because it wasn't accessible to you at all. And that would be the opposite of the Svarim Acherim in Rashi, and that would talk be a big Chiddush in Rashi, that not such a big Chiddush. Tosa said a similar Chiddush to Afchav Aleph, but not based on the Rigei Rahya. But Rashi would be saying that Tosa says Yimatze, it's only Yimatze if it's accessible to you, if you know where it is, etc. And Rashi would say, no, it's only Yimatze / Yira, which are supposed to mean the same thing, if it is accessible to you.
No, because we know that
Al Yatman is Usr. We know there's an answer of Yatman. Yeah, we have to account for that somehow. So I say, no, well, Yatman means that that's like visible because you know where it is. You could open it any time. Okay, that's why. Okay, Victor. Now, Rabosai, let us go Victor into the Sugya of Kabbalah Sunrise. Says the Gemara, following the Gemara Daf Hamad base. Gemara Daf Hamad base says, first white line, Amar Yahu Yatmi Mikabu Dos Ben Anachar. Tamalom or Lo Yimotse, you can't take McDonald's Ben Anachar. Amar Resha Shachaya Tarawa Tarosh Shachir Shavuot. Didn't we say in the Resha that you can have Chomitz of Goyim? Lo Kasha, the Kabbalah Chrys, or the Lo Kibbalah Chrys. Depends if you have a Chrys or not. If you have a Chrys, it's also, if not, it's Mutter. Ki Had Amar the Rav Le Mechosa, Mechosa was his city. The Iru Hamira de Bechelum Yvataihu, get rid of the chametz of the Goyish soldiers from your houses. Why came the Lumigna Vilamitra Bishusaihu Kai? Since if it would be stolen or lost, it would be in your shus, you'd have to, you'd be responsible, but it's Shlomo, you'd have to pay. Kidal Chondom, it's like yours, the Usser. Then if you have responsibility, you have a Christ, it's yours. Okay, exactly. They have shown when our Chondom argue exactly what was the case, the Chayyur Bechela, some of them say, that they were storing the bread of the Goyish soldiers. I'm going to say it wasn't they were storing the bread of the Goyish soldiers. They had to provide bread for the Goyish soldiers. So they took bread, they like, you know, baked it, set it aside, remacked it to the Goyish soldiers, but they were still responsible because they had to go with bread. But either way, that's usher. Hani, Chalikmar says, we know in all of Shas, there's Machlok, Shushim, Chacham, whether something that would make me lose money counts as my money. Like, for example, Kachim Shachai Bachriyusan, like a neder, if does it count as my money or not? If you steal it from me, do you have to pay me kefil? Right? So that depends if Dover Gomorrah is like my money because I suffer the loss. So here we're saying whoever suffers the loss, like the owner. So that makes sense. Rando Dover Gomorrah Kamamadami, Madar Dlavko, and Dover my equal to Meimar. No, Shani Hacha Dover Lo Yibat say, no, even if normally Dover Gomorrah is not Kamamadami, but over here the Torah says, Lo Yimotze, and Lo Yimotze teaches us that even if it's not mine, even if I'll call it Tarakula, it's not mine, since it's Matzoi for me, What is matzik for me? Meaning the value goes to me. The financial stake is mine. That's included by the matzik. That it's somehow the value of this goes to me because I'm the one who's going to make lose money if anything happens to it. Therefore, it is still aser. Now we just flip it. Hold on. If you need lo yimatzei, that makes sense. If davar gavon lo maf kamon dami kultur kula, you need lo yimatzei for chametz. But if davar gavon the moment kamon dami kultur kula, what do you need lo yimatzei? You shouldn't have to make a drasha. It's a kultur kula principle. No, it's a chazak like amina hold he iser hader ve'ini la brishusei kai kam ashwan. No, so you might have thought that when is davar gavon the moment kamon dami when it gets stolen, when something happens to it, then the loss is as if it's mine. So it's gorim for me to lose money. But until something happens, if it's still be'en, if nothing happened yet, then it's not gur l'mamon. Gur l'mamon is only when the loss happens. Until the loss happens, there's no gur l'mamon. So you wouldn't have applied your double gur l'mamon k'mam dami, even according to that manda amar. So therefore, you need lo yimatzei to teach you that it's usher. Wonderful. Okay, let's ask ourselves a few questions here. First question is the famous machlokas rishonim about what we mean here by achrayus. Everyone who learned hamafkid in elementary school knows that, what are the three levels of achrayus? Shomer chinam, shomer socher, and shoel, right? Socher is controversial. And what are they achray for? What are the three levels? Shia, gneva, veda, and onsim. So what do we mean here by chiyav achrayus? What level of achrayus constitutes kidilchon dami, makes you either an owner and makes you violate by Yerua and by Yimatzin? What level of achrayus? What level of achrayus? So one shita is even pshia. Even if you're only chayiv on pshia, any achrayus whatsoever makes you chayiv on by Yerua, by Yimatzin. Who holds that shita? That even pshia? The Bahag, the Rush, right. the Rush quotes the Bahag, who holds that Shita? Who else holds that Shita? That we saw the Meiri quotes as Yeshamer. Who did we see? We saw the Bahag in the Rush. We saw the Yesh Omer in the Meiri, and And Rashi sounds that way. Why? Because on Vavam and Aleph, everyone makes a deal from Rashi. Rashi says, the Zigmar says, Yichid lo bayis in tzarech levayir. If you're miyachid a bayis to the guy, you don't have to do beer. What does it mean, Yichid lo bayis, says Rashi? Kolomar lo kiblo alav elo omar lo yharei a bayis lo fanecha anach ha'achas min azvios ein zokok le levayir. So what is, well, okay. Rashi, you have to read into this Rashi. Rashi says, lo kiblo alav, you didn't accept the Christ. Right, the previous Rashi says kibbutz achrayis. If you don't accept the achrayis, then it's not your problem. Okay, we know that. You say harei abayis lefanecha, ha beisa kamach. You say the bayis lefanecha. What does the Gemara say in Bamatzia? That what happens if you say ha beisa kamach? Then you're not even chayav pshia. So the diuk in Rashi is he says if you say ha beisa kamach, hinei abayis lefanecha, that's not kabbalas achrayis. The diuk is because that's not even accepting pshia. So the diuk and Rashi, now it's a diuk. But the diuk and Rashi is, since Rashi said, the way to not accept the achrayus is to say the house is before you. My house is before you. Meaning, I'm not doing anything. My house is here. And we know from elsewhere in Shas that saying habesa kamach, the house is before you, means you're not even chayav pshia. The diak is when you're not even chayim shia, that's mutter. If you're chayim shia, that would be also. That's the diak everyone makes from Rashi. Other Rishonim also hold this way. Like, for example, the Ritva, the Maram Chalava also hold this way. Okay, there are other Rishonim will hold this way. Okay, the Ramban starts out, also mentions the Shita. It's not clear if he takes it back or not. He quotes this Rashi, he quotes the Bahag, and he says, oh, I have some problems the way they read this Gemara in Daf Vav, and never says, like, does that mean he reads their sheet about Achrayus or not. Okay, what's the second Shita? Who holds that it's only for Chayim Gnei Vaveda, not for Chayim Shia? The Re, right? That's quoted also in the Rush. Who else says this?
opinion, David?
The Rebbe Yudavid also says this, correct? Who else says this? Okay, the Meiri himself, that was on the Makora sheet, right? The Meiri himself, he brings three opinions, but he has a clear favorite. And this is Pashup Shot in the Rambam, right? L'chora, this is what the Rambam holds, right? The Rambam doesn't say I'm discussing levels of Shmira in Hamafkid, like remember seventh grade. He doesn't say that beforeish, but the Rambam's Lashon is, Akum Shif Git Chenzo Echol Shalom, Kibolo Yisholach Raishi Im Ovad O Nignav Yishalim Lo Domov. Okay, that's pretty clear. He doesn't say if an onus happens. He says only Gneva Vaveda. And he doesn't say only if I'm Poshea. I mean, I don't think there's any two ways about it. There's very Im Nignav. Yes, but that's not a valid answer for a Rambam. The Rambam does quote the Lashon Gemara, but he also has to make himself clear, right? The assumption is that the Rambam has to write things in a way that they'll be clear. Not just Stam use the Lashon Gemara. Now, the Rambam could have said, if he thought like Rashi, or Bahag, whoever it is, he could have said, you know, in Kibbal Alav, Shem Yifshav Yovin or Yignam Yishali. But he doesn't. He skips from Shia. He says Yignam Yovin. And, you know, the Rambam still has to be clear. And if he meant all Onsim, he should have said, or any other onus. So I think it's pretty clear from that. Again, the assumption is that even when the Rambam quotes the Gemara, which he always does, he always quotes in a way that he's trying to make a shita clear, not just stop. That's the basic assumption of Rambam, which is a good one. That's not an achronish one or a foolish one. That's a pashup shot assumption. Okay, that's the second shita. The third shita is only if you're chayiv on onsim, meaning chiyuv muchla, total chiyuv. Who holds only for chayiv on onsim? Yes, if you get robbed in avad o nignav, but that's only if the guy's going to rob you of avad o nignav.
The
bnei chela case, they would make you pay. They would force you to pay if it was avad o nignav. Yes, shalom did, but if it's avad o nignav, he doesn't say they would force you to pay if you're a poshea shalom and adin. They're forced to pay for Neva Vaveda Shalom and Adin. Rav says, Neva Veda, whether you have to pay for Adin or Shalom and Adin, but only if you have to pay for Neva Veda. Let's say I'm the guy, and I would say, I force you that if you're in Poshea, I'll make you pay. Then the Rav would say, that's not my Rav Al Yimatse.
The way the other Rishon understand that Rav is that it's talking about even if it's against the Mind of Alaba, or the Rav says that that's a case of, like, basically, yes, the fact that you know that people are going to end up robbing you makes it a case of technically,
yeah, everything you're saying is true, but I'm not sure how it's relevant to what's on the board.
So even if it wasn't made of it, they're going to make you pay. Regardless of how you end up losing their...
No, I don't understand. The Rambam says if you have to pay for Geneva Vegas, but you're about to say Kolshkin, if you have to pay for everything, it's value of like you're combining two issues, which I'm not sure why you're combining. And one issue is, what level of achrayas is Bayer Bayer Matze? The other is, what legitimacy of Achrayas? Achrayas min Adin or Achrayas min Ha'onis? But you can have, for example, someone could say, even Achrayas of Pshia makes you value Rabbi Yimatze. And then one Sheikh is only Pshia min Adin. Well, that says even Achrayas of Pshia that you're forced. Or the Rambam says, only Achrayas of Gnev Veda makes you pay. But within the Rambam of Achrayas of Gnev Veda, the Rambam would say, Achrayas of Gnev Veda, even if they force you. And the Meir would say, Achrayas of Gnev Veda, but only if it's been Adin.
Once you get forced, how do we then say it's been Adin?
What do you mean? Because they say, we're going to hold, make you pay if it's stolen or lost. They don't say we're going to make you pay if an onus happens. It depends when they're going to make you pay. No? Like, even if they're forcing you to pay, there could be a case where they force you to pay no matter what happens, even an onus, where they only force you to pay if it's stolen or lost.
But if it's forced, then how can we stick it into the category of Gnev Veda? If they're forced,
it's Loman Adin, but it's still that you're paying for Gneva Veda.
But it's Loman Adin, so it's not a category from Amakid. It's that they're inventing a new category.
Oh, okay, but it's
practically. It's basically Onsen.
It's practically. No, I don't understand what you're saying. Let's say this guy says, look, if something happens that's an unpredictable accident, I'm not going to make you pay. It's not a nice mafioso. But if it gets stolen or lost, I'm going to force you to pay. He's not being mechayvion omsim in shalom and adin. He's only mechayvion gnev aveda shalom and adin. I don't know why you're saying whoever's been adin mechayvion omsim. I never heard of such a thing.
Lights to the left.
But it doesn't matter. It's still Kaneva Veda. I didn't put the word Hamafkin on the board. Okay, who else the third sheet of Onsen?
Rinatam.
Right, who quotes Rinatam?
Aram Chalava. Exactly. And then the Iri, namelessly.
The Aram Chalava, Bishane Rinatam, and the Iri, Bishane Yishra Farshem. And where do we find it more originally? More originally, you find it in Tosos, too. There's a Tosos in Shavuos also, but this Tosos is the best one. Tosos and Mamtiraf Tabizim and Aleph says this Mefurish. He says, first he has a machlutz with Rashi. He says, Rashi, obviously, it's only by Rabbi Yomotzi Yuchayim and Onsim. Then he says, and for me also, it's only by Rabbi Yomotzi Yuchayim and Onsim. Except, I'll make one exception when it's called a Kenyan. But Tosos, he starts out saying within Rashi, he holds it for himself also. Tosos and one Mitzia, Daf Beis, Ahmad, whatever it was, Ahmad Beis, also holds this way. Okay, so we have three shitas floating out there as to what level of achrayus we are talking about. Now, the question is, what's the svara of each of these shitas? What's the svara of each of these shitas? So two shitas, maybe we could get to work easily enough. That's where Rachana starts off. He has a very nice analysis. There are other ways to analyze it, but the other ways to analyze it are going to be based on non-major shitas. What's the svara? Here, the svara is very easy. Is that any financial stake, in this object makes it by Rabbi Matzah. If I have any connection to this object, that's by Rabbi Matzah. If the guy puts by me and I have no shaykhus to it, what do you mean no shaykhus? I told the guy I would watch it for him. But that no practical shaykhus, because it doesn't matter to me what happens, then there's no by Rabbi Matzah. If I have some practical financial stake, if it's worth money to me in some case, that's already enough for by Rabbi Matzah. I have some kesher to it. Okay. Maybe you could say that the svar of Onsim is only if I, being the Jew, 100% financial stake. Maybe what's the point? What is it belongs to the guy? If it belongs to the guy, what's going to make it like mine? What's going to make it like mine is if I totally take over. I don't need to take over the ownership rights. The guy owns it. I can't keep it forever, right? I get to guess a lock him. I have to give it back to him when he asks for it. But in terms of who it's worth money to, it's worth no money to him and worth all the money in the world to me. I have 100% of the financial stake in this object, right? Because for him, it's worth nothing. It makes no difference whatsoever. If it costs $50, he couldn't care less what happens to it. He'll get $50 from me either way. And for me, it's worth all the entire $50, because anything happens to it, I lose $50, just as if it was mine. So maybe it has to be totally mine. It's still a chiddush. It's only gor in the moment. I have financial stake. I don't have bailus. Chiddush is total financial stake equals bailus from Lo Yimatzei, or any financial stake. Like the two radical sheets are always easy to explain. Could be the Torah asser anything, or no, the Torah only asser total, something that's totally like bailus. It's the in-between shita that is the most interesting because, hold on a second, if I have part responsibility, like I'm responsible for Pshia, but not Geneva Aveda, I'm Pater. But if I have part responsibility, I'm responsible for Geneva Aveda, but not Onsen, then I'm Chayim. Why should it be that if partial responsibility is enough, like this much partial responsibility is enough, but this much partial responsibility is not? That's what Rosh Hashanah asked, and I know we all know the answer. Let me just point out, by the way, that out of these three shitas, which is the most Pashup Shana in the Gemara? The male one. That's the Lashon of the Gemara, right? The Lashon of the Gemara is Migna v'Mitvat. Is that a proof? No, it's not a proof. The Bahag will say, and the Rishonim spoke this out, they'll say, no, it means B'Pshia, but something has to happen to B'Pshia, right? I mean, B'Pshia alone doesn't make anyone pay, right? Let's say you ask me to watch your car, and I leave it on the street with the keys and the ignition running, and I'm total B'Pshia, and nothing happens to it. I don't have to pay. Right? You only have to pay if you're Boshea and something happens. So as I say, if you're Boshea and it gets stolen or lost, because those are the things that can happen after Boshea. Okay, and what will Tosa say? Tosa will say no. Mignav, oh, mitnav or mitvad are, you could say, just examples of things that could happen, or you could say, you know, sometimes, it doesn't mean mitnav or mitvad like normal theft and normal losing. It means anything happened to it. The truth is, even mitvad, what does it mean, ne'efat? What are the two ways to translate ne'efat? Or destroyed, right? Right, so it's not so clear what it means. Maybe it means ne'efat, anything happens to it. Right, so, really, from our Gemara, you can't prove either way. Question is, what's the svara here, right? And what's the svara here? Who wants to say? Or did you want to ask something first?
I mean, I guess, I'm not sure if like, I didn't really understand this is a strong question. We're not talking about absolute violence. So we're talking about violence, like, hey, maybe
you're saying maybe just quantitative. You're saying maybe just quantitative. Okay, so after all, everything has a quantitative, you draw a line quantitatively someplace, right? Don't be such a lineman. Yeah, you always have to draw the line someplace. How much financial stake, how much gore in the mamot, as it were, is significant? The answer is you have to draw the line someplace. This is where we draw the line, right? And if we were to draw the line somewhere else, you would ask the same. You would ask the same question. You know, why Kzayis? Why not 1.2 Kzayisim? You have to draw the line someplace. So you could say it's just a quantitative standard of financial stake, right? But you could say, I think Rav Chanan says better. And it's not Rav Chanan. You're not against Rav Chanan. You're against the Rishonim. The Meiri says different. Says the Meiri, it can't be like the Bahag. Impossible. What does he say? Notice, he doesn't say it's impossible to be like Tosfos and Bamatziah. He says, that's not how I'm Machriya. But he says it can't be like the Bahag. Why can't it be? Right? Or, says the Meiri, Hosheya Kemazik, this is a famous sheet of the Rambam, and the truth is, even if you don't hold the famous sheet of the Rambam, you could still hold this idea. Meaning, the Rambam says, Poshei Kemazik, and his Nafkamina is therefore, Poshei is Chayev, even on Avodim, Shtoros, and Karpos, which have no Shmira. You could have said, no, I agree with you, Poshei Kemazik, but I disagree with your Shita. I don't think that applies to Avodim, Shtoros, and Karpos. But, what does Poshei Kemazik mean? The Rambam doesn't explain what it means, but it's very clear. It says there's a difference in Pshia and everything else. The reason why I'm chayef for Pshia is not, let's examine it this way. When I hire you as a shomer, or even hire you for free, engage you as a shomer, right? Shomer chinam, let's say shomer chinam, shomer sacher, whatever, right? You are agreeing to do a job for me, right? You're agreeing to do a job for me. And that's regardless of what it says in the Torah about Shomer. Forget what it says in the Torah. Forget Shomer Chinim, Shomer Sachar, etc. When I ask you to watch something for me, whether it's what the Torah talks about, or whether it's not, let's say you're a Goy and the Torah's not talking about a Goy, or let's say it's Karka and the Torah's not talking about Karka, you are clearly agreeing to do a Pa'ula for me. A Pa'ula of watching. If it's Shomer Sachar, you're going to do that pu'ula as a higher marker. If it's Shomer Chinam, you're going to do that pu'ula as a favor. So you agreed to do a pu'ula of watching for me. That's same as any other pu'ula. What if you had agreed to do a pu'ula what if you agreed to do a pu'ula of reading me what it says in this book, right? I'm old, I can't read the fine print, right? Whatever. You could agree to do many pu'ulas for me. You'd agree to cook me dinner, right? Whatever the case may be. You agree to do a pu'ula for me. If you don't do that pu'ula, then you've done something wrong. What have you done wrong? You have reneged on your obligation to do the pu'ula you promised to do. You've backed out of your gavra pu'ula obligation. And what's the chiddush in the Rambam? Hosheya Kemazik. If you are poshea, what does it mean to be poshea? Poshea means you said you would be shomer and you weren't shomer. You were negligent. It's a lack of shmira. Lack of shmira, normally, if I ask you to do something for me and you don't do it, then what's the worst I have on you? Taromis, right? If I ask you to do something and you don't do it, I can just be mad at you, but I can't sue you. You know, that's an actionable in court. But if I ask you to do something for me and you agree to do it, of course, and you don't do it, and that causes a loss of money, that's hezek, that's mazik. Oh, you might say it's only grama. I didn't do something that caused you to lose money. That's only a far out grama. No, that's we didn't agree to do it. If you renege on your agreement, if you don't fulfill, you don't live up to your agreement, that's considered mazik, something bad happens. And that's similar to other things we find in Shas. Like classic agreement in Shas is, if I, in other cases, not to do with Shmira, I agree to work for you. I agree to come tomorrow and fix your wall before it collapses. And I promise you I'm going to come tomorrow and fix your wall. And then at the last minute I say, I changed my mind, I'm not coming. And you look desperately for other workers and can't find any because they all say you should have come to us yesterday. I said, but yesterday I thought I was hiring that guy. And the wall collapses and the guy's chayev. Right? If you back out on a work agreement, you're chayev for the nezik you cause. Right? Whatever you want to call that. That's for Shea Kamazik. That's the Rambam Sheikh of Shea Kamazik, and that's why the Rambam says, even in Karka Vadim and Shtaros, where there's no Chiyuvei Shmira, but you still agreed to watch it. If you didn't watch it, you're a mazik. Okay, that's the Rambam Shita of Poshea Kamazik. Give me a second. If we say Poshea Kamazik, then, says Rav Chanan, when you're chayev for Pshia, you're not chayev in Pshia because of your stake in the object, because of a deal you made about this object. You're chayev in Pshia because of your lack of the pa'ula. You're chayev, the chayev of Pshia comes from your pa'ula, comes from the work you should or shouldn't have done, not from responsibility you took for the object. Now that's a long discussion, right? But it doesn't come from the chefza, it comes from the pa'ula, or lack, or lack thereof. If I had said, meaning, when I'm a shemachina, it's not that I'm saying, you know what? I'm taking financial responsibility for any Pshia in this object. No, I'm just saying I'll work. And if I don't work, you can sue me for being a mazik. Okay, that's Rav Chanan's. That, it's not Rav Chanan, it's a Meiri. Which Rav Chanan knows. It's not my fish that he's Meiri. He quotes the Meiri. What does this mean? That means that Shia is a chiyov mitzad, p'ulas hashmira, or the lack thereof. And therefore, that's not by your rabbi you want to say, because it's not a relationship with the chafza. However, Gneva Veda, that's a chiyov mitzad, lekichas achrayos, al hachefta. That's a chiyuv mitzad lekichas achrayos al hachefta. Gneva va'aveda. Why is the Shomer Sachar chayv gneva veda? Because in exchange for the money, he is now agreeing to take partial responsibility for this object. He's going to watch it like a Shomer Chinam. Okay, but why is chayv more than Shomer Chinam? Because in exchange for the money, he gave you a partial insurance policy on the object. He says, you know, I'm taking this object and I'm going to take part responsibility for it. You'll take part responsibility for it. That is mitzad lekichas achrayos, and therefore that is by your rabbi Matze, because it's a relationship with the chefza shel chametz. Right? It's not that the chiva pshia flows from my lack of doing the job I agreed to do. Nothing to do with the object. The chiyav of, and there can be parallel cases where there is no object that I was shomer, and yet I'm chayav for pshia of not doing the job I promised to do. The chiyav gneva veda comes from the fact that when you give me schar, I agree to take responsibility for this object, not to take responsibility for my actions, but to take responsibility for the object. And therefore, since I'm taking responsibility for the object, that makes me a part owner of the object, not full owner of the object, part owner of the object, and therefore I'm chayav by rabba yotzei. First of all, you admitted it's a mafurish Rama that Poshea Kamazik. Poshea is different than the other team.
Okay. Rashi seems to involve a comment, seems to say that all
four Shomer
are
the same. It's not just Rashi. Gemara there seems to say that. Right? The question is, that's not true. The question, nothing more means there, right? There's a big machlokes shomer and what the Gemara means that all four shomer are considered mazikin. I mean, it could be the Gemara means all four shomer, if they're poshea, are considered mazikin, which we're hunting out of praise about. Uh-huh. Some people say it means all four shomer, if they're shaleach yad, are considered mazikin. It's not so poshea, because according to you, you're going to get stuck. You're going to say onus instead of mazik, which is very hard to say. So you're not sure you want to go that way.
Okay.
It'll be tricky. You admit. It'll be tricky.
It still fits better in my Dinah Shmira.
Okay, so you want to say there's one din in Shmira? So the Meiri wants to say two based on the Rambam and Rina Tam also. Now, let's go for a second. What's the Svara of Rabbeinu Tam? Here, interestingly, what might you have said for Rabbeinu Tam? You might have said Rabbeinu Tam's not a fancy Svara in Shomer. No Lundus in Shomer. You can say the non-Lundish. It's only 100%. After all, the guy owns it, I don't own it. You want to make me like an owner if I don't own it? To make me like an owner, if I don't own it, I have to be 100% responsible. But, interesting, the Maram Chalava quotes Rabbeinu Tam. How does Maram Chalava quote Rabbeinu Tam? Says the Maram Chalava, I shouldn't have put it in brackets. I apologize, but let me read you the Maram Chalava. Says the Maram Chalava, quoting Rabbeinu Tam Rabosai. One second, let me find it. What does he say here? He says, one second. Verbin Tam's al Pirish, the Bekadin Shomachina Lomachayim, the Ainzo Achrayas, the Boshea Mazaku. Starts out the same as the Meiri. Boshea Mazaku. Yeah, Boshea's come on, Boshea's Mazik. That's not considered Achrayas. That's Mazik. That's not Achrayas. Elo Hacham Shev Kido Atzlo, but Achrayas Onsin. Here's Achrayas of Onsin. All of a sudden, he skips a step. The Meiri says, Boshea's Kamazik. You only chayiv your Achrayas Gnev Vaveda. Verbin Tam says, Boshea's Kamazik. You only chayiv your Achrayas in Onsin. And we think Onsim is Davka to Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam's Tosos, and the founder of Tosos, and Tosos Bamatsiya says Onsim. Right? So here it's interesting. It says, Toshek and Mazek, only Onsim is real Achrayas. What does he mean by that? So, I don't know, maybe he's missing words in Maram Chalava, who knows? But I'm assuming that he really means something. And this is also what Rochana says here. He didn't have a copy of Maram Chalava. Or maybe you could say that the Maram Chalava, Shem Rabbeinu Tam, what does he say? Hoshea Maziku, but Onsen is Chayef. But what about Gnev Vaveda? Why do you leave that out? Nirling is deity that this is exactly what Rosh Hashanah was suggesting for Tosos. He has a riot from our Palomas Kod Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam thinks not only is Hoshea Mishamazik, Gnev Vaveda is also Mishamazik. Now, I know that this is not based on the Rambam, because the Rambam says only Moshe has Mazik and not Gnev Aveda. And maybe the word Mazik is a very strong word, but you could say the same thing. After all, let me ask you a question. Why is a Shomer Sachar higher more than a Shomer Chinam for Gnev Aveda? There are two possibilities. One possibility is that by paying him, you have bought yourself some insurance that he's taking more responsibility. The other possibility is that by paying him, you expect him to work harder, right? He should work harder. The Gemara says in the end of the seventh parak of Bamatsiya that a Shomer Sachar is supposed to work harder than a Shomer Chinam, right? After all, this week's parsha. How hard should a Shomer Sachar work? What? No one knows this week's parsha? Yisim Adom, Ahalani Chorev, Bekerach Balaylo, Batidat Shnosi Me'enai. A Shomer Chinam doesn't have to go so far. I mean, a Shomer Chinam has to work minimally. So if he's Moshea, he broke his obligation. If he wasn't Moshea, he didn't break his obligation. A Shomer Sachar has to work hard. He can't prevent all sin, but he should prevent all Gnevos and prevent all Avedos. If he promised to work harder, then there's more Mazik if he doesn't do what he said he would do. So what are you going to say? You can say very Pashut. Shia and Gneva Aveda are a chiyuv mitzad peulas, meaning ikil, right? Peulas hashmira, not doing peulas hashmira, but onsim, that is chiyuv mitzad lekichas achrayos al hachefta. Now again, you could be non-lomdish here. You could say the machlok is just a quantitative machlok, is any financial stake a certain quantitative place to draw the line, stam, which is a little less attractive if possible, or only 100% it means something. But you could also say what we have here is maybe machlokes within the gedurim of Shmirah, Chakir, and Shomrim. The Rambam and the Meiri and the Ri and Rabbeinu David say Shia is because you are responsible for wrongdoing, for damaging by breaking your agreement. Gneiva Veda is just agreeing to be responsible, and also is agreeing to be responsible. The only difference is some people agree to be this responsible, and some people agree to be that responsible. Or if you, but no, but Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam, which is the same person, basically, I mean, more or less, would say no. Shia and Gneiva Veda, you're responsible for the damage you did by not living up to your end. Go Shia Kemazik, and then you have to go to Olsen, because anything less than Olsen is still Pashia Kemazik. Gneiva Veda is also Pashia Kemazik. Gneiva Veda is also Pshia. After all, how could it have been Nigna Venevat if you were Pashia? It's just different levels of Pashia. There's Pshia of someone who doesn't get paid, and that's called Pshia, and there's Pshia of someone who does get paid, that's called Gneiva Veda. Right? If I let something get stolen, that's Pshia for someone who got paid. That's not Pshia necessarily, unless it was under, you know, ridiculous negligent circumstances for someone who was doing a favor. Only Onsim is really taking responsibility for the Chepta. Where Chana points out, this is a classic Hakira in Gneiva Veda, and the classic Nafkamina of that Hakira is a famous Machlokes Rishonim in the seventh Perek of Bava Metzia. What about Gneiva Ba'onis? Is it Shomer Sachar Chayiv Gneiva Ba'onis? If you say he has an expanded Pshia, he's only Chayiv on Gneiva, but Pshia on his level, he's not Chayiv on Gneiva Ba'onis. But if you say no, it's a partial responsibility. I took responsibility for some things, not all things. Then you took responsibility for Gneiva. Even if it was an onus gomer, he still took responsibility for Gneiva. That's a famous machlokes to be shown in, and might be exactly this Hakira. Okay, one can imagine many other nafkaminas as well. Those classic nafkaminas, this Hakira, it's a pre-existing Hakira in Gneiva Veda, is what about Gneiva bonus? Who says? I mean, are you thinking of the Mudli Olam kind of things?
I know that's
Aveda, not you mean Gnevis. Kain Gneva, Kain Avivers, Kain Aveda. Okay, so you have to figure that out, but the answer is going to be that when you get paid, it pushes the line a little. Whatever the normal onus are Chanapatre, when you get paid, we move that line a little. Yeah. I think it is. Because onus are Chanapatre depend on what our expectations were. I think that's fair to say that onus are Chanapatre is not objective. It depends what our expectations were. I think it's perfectly reasonable. Let me just give you a stupid example, right? Right? If you were mut, okay, forget Velanarosas, that's Gilar Rice, it's hard to find parallels, right? Velanarosas Dover and Dinimamas, right? A lady was walking and she got mud and her pocketbook stolen. That's onus rechonapatri, right? Let me just give you a stupid example. What if I told this lady, be my courier to bring these diamonds for me, but don't walk on this street because it's dangerous? It's not so dangerous, but I told her not to walk in the street because it's dangerous. She walked there anyway. Think she has a Torah bonus or a patre? Lanar l'sasa davar vada not. Why? Because in these circumstances, she was told that she had to act differently. So it could be whenever I pay you, that's implicitly telling you have to act a little differently. Right? I think it certainly needs a layomer. I can't prove it, but I can prove this needs a layomer. Okay, now just one.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I remember hearing from Lichtenstein the kibun like this, that the chiyuv of onsin, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is talking about a shoel. And a shoel has a din bailim for the tkufa, and therefore we're not talking about a chayvus
klal. Okay, hold that thought. This is, I said a little earlier that there are some things that are not going to work out with a lot of shitas. Joel's pointing out that if you look in Rav Lichtenstein's Sefer here, he brings up possibilities. Sometimes Rav Lichtenstein brings up possibilities, though those possibilities are not so mainstream. They're just possibilities. That he says it could be a little different. That what's the svar of Rabbeinu Tam? That no matter how much responsibility you take, that still doesn't make it like yours. Only chiyuv onsim of a shoel, only chiyuv onsim of someone like a shoel is yours. Because why is a shoel chayv and onsim? Shoel is not chayv and onsim because they took responsibility for the chayfetz. A shoel is chayv and onsim because he took over ownership of this chayfetz legamri. After all, Shoel, it's basically Kolanah. What does Kolanah Shalom mean? Maybe Kolanah Shalom means it's totally as if it's his, right? It's temporarily his. So, and why is the Shoel Chayvin Onsim? Then you have to say, because Shoel is not Chayvin Onsim because he agreed to take responsibility for Onsim. Shoel is Chayvin Onsim because when you take something and you don't give it back, you're Chayiv. After all, why is it Kona Chayvin Onsim? If I buy something in the store and I didn't pay yet and it gets struck by lightning, I still have to pay. Why? I don't know, because it's mine. I have to pay. If I took it, I have to pay. Right? I can return it to the store. Right? Israel, until 14 days you can return. But if I took it and didn't return it, I have to pay. Right? Why do I have to pay? I have to pay because I was Kona. Maybe Shoel has to pay as a Kona. He took it and didn't return it. By Ganav, that's the major sheet as well. Why does a Ganav hide Onsim? Next, he takes responsibility for Onsim. Next, the Torah makes a Chiv Onsim on a Ganav. No, because he took it. And if you take it, you have to pay unless you return it. If you return it, you don't have to pay. But if you take it and you don't return it, you have to pay unless you return it. Maybe Shoel has to pay for taking it. That's the Chiv Onsim of a Shoel. That would be a Alts Kinyan Mamish. Then it would make a lot of sense. The only problem is that's not such a mainstream shita, because generally, and this is all like a shita that we don't paskin like in some sugya somewhere, and that's where it can get a little tricky. We're left to explore the possibility, Joel.
But he was for real.
The shas haloski of a shoel should be from when he takes it, not from when the lightning strikes, which is a machlokes. But we paskin from when the lightning strikes, and in which case it could be that. If something was in the house of a Shoel, it shouldn't be considered in the possession of the owner for the owner to receive kefel if it's stolen or be makdish, which is the sheet in the Yerushalmi and the end of Shulis, but not the sheet in the Bavli. And then maybe it should also be that if it breaks, the Shoel should have to pay for a new one and not give back the broken pieces and pay the difference, which is a shita in the... Which is a shita in the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Kamma, not the shita we passed it like.
Rabbi,
so that's pretty radical to say.
Mamish
is a fascinating possibility, but I don't think it's mainstream in Shas.
Rebbe, in Bava Metzia, Rabbi Lichtenstein did defend the shita, but that's not the issue. But it changes the whole Gemara here. I mean, the Dabra Agarim, the Mamun, is not.
I just don't know how defensible that is in terms of understanding Chiv Onsim. And I'll add, Ora, the case of Chiv Onsim here, when the Rishonim talk about Chiv Onsim, and when Tosfos talk about Chiv Onsim, he's not necessarily talking about a Shoel. He's just talking about someone who agreed to be Chayv and Onsim. So then it's much harder to say that, you know, it's possible, harder to say that Bishon Bayit was in Kinyan Mamish. So that's why I'm not so eager to go there. Even though I hear the possibility, I'm not so eager to go there. I would say this would be the shita that Geneva the onus a shomer sacher is chayav. Why? Because the concept Geneva Vein is a kind of taking a chayus. This would fit the shita that on Geneva the onus a shomer sacher is potter. Okay, and this is a complicated sugya. Maybe there's different kinds of Geneva the onus. Etc. Misunderstood one of those two things. It was similar, but I thought he was saying it's like, it's called taking a chrayus. It's not like buying it. It's just like taking a chrayus on it. But it could be. You know, and then maybe we don't have to discuss it so such detail. Yeah.
The Baba Kama, the read is the sheet that says that you're high and bonus for the name.
Then it would be nice, because Taka, that's the re in... Taka, that's the sheet of the re, and then it would work well, the sheet hasni. That is very good. Okay, shkai. That worked very well, the sheet hasni. Shkai, that's a good har. Okay, now what one could say, of course, is to go back to the top sheet here, the sheet of the Baha'i, and over Rashi, and many others say you're high, even on Shia, you know, you could then ask, well, what's their sheet? Is their sheet is that any connection is any connection, and therefore there's nothing to talk about? Or maybe even their sheet is committing themselves to a certain lumpness. Maybe they think even Boshe is not kamazik. No. There's no such thing as Pesheik HaMazik. All the nice things I said about how you're chayav for not doing the pu'ula, et cetera, well, that's not true. That's not what's going on. After all, most Rishonim against the Rambam say that if I agree to watch your karta and I'm posheya, I'm pater. What does that prove? That proves that I'm not chayav for not doing what I promised. Oh, I brought you these other examples from, Hasokhar Sohumnen. No, those are different. That's like I didn't show up for work. I don't think I just didn't do his job well. Okay, so you could say that, maybe you could say, and here I don't necessarily have any prior for this, but maybe you could say that all chiyuv shmira are chiyuv mitzad lekichas achrayus al hachefza and not because of failing to do a pa'ula. In which case, you could say that all three of these shitas, you can mix and match, all three of these shitas flow from something. He says, even the chiyuv shia, why is there a chiyuv chayav of shia? Might be attractive to say Moshiach HaMazik, and the Rambam says Moshiach HaMazik, and the Rav Tam says Moshiach HaMazik, and the Meir says Moshiach HaMazik, but who says Moshiach HaMazik? After all, the Ravid disagrees when the Rambam says Moshiach HaMazik, and maybe we're not clear. Does he just disagree with what the Rambam's including, or does he disagree with the whole idea in the first place? Maybe Moshiach is not Kamazik. Who says Moshiach is Kamazik? Who heard of Moshiach being Kamazik? Moshiach is a Mazik, but Grama Biyamba. Okay, Grama Biyamba and Ezekiel is Putter. Moshiach is not Kamazik. The reason is because each Shomer is agreeing to take a different degree of responsibility for the Chayfetz, Shomer Chinam takes this much, Shomer Suffer this much, and as Feigl said, they're all one big din. They're all one big din. How that fits in, doesn't fit in, for another time, to the price of the Ovis and the Zikin. Okay, so it could be that they're just arguing to stop, or it could be that they're arguing about some very fundamental arguments of the nature of Shi, Chi of Shi, the nature of Chi of Nev Aveda when it comes to Shomrim. And then, as it's pointed out, the Rila Shitasei works out nicely. Now, I want to just ask further question. The famous Machloksi in the Rambam and the Ravid, right? This is all if it's legal achrayus. What about mafioso achrayus? What about achrayus ba'onis? What about, because where does the Rambam come up? The Rambam comes up with b'nei chela. The Rambam starts with two things. The Rambam starts with b'nei chela. Why dafka b'nei chela? Why dafka b'nei chela? The answer is because you don't mess with b'nei chela. Right? If you mess, even nowadays, I wouldn't mess with soldiers, even though theoretically we have rights nowadays, and there's laws, and et cetera, and the soldier would get in trouble if he shoots you. I still wouldn't mess with him with hachiva. Like, it's not good enough for me that he'll shoot me and get into trouble. I'd prefer not to be shot. But certainly in the old days, you didn't mess with soldiers. You didn't mess with b'nei chela. A Jew, a guy also didn't mess with b'nei chela. Certainly the Jew didn't mess with b'nei chela. That would be very, very foolish. And what does he say? He says that you're going to have to pay. Why do you have to pay? That's not a pi halacha. As a matter of fact, most Rishonim here say, al pi halacha, there is no shmir for a goy. It's not mefurish in Shas, whether the din of Arba Shomer apply to a goy or not. But most Rishonim say, al pi halacha, there's no din of Arba Shomer for a goy. So why do you have to pay? You have to pay because they're soldiers. The Rambam's are dying in soldiers, right? And therefore, says the Rambam, what was the case here? They were forcing you to be responsible. You didn't agree to be responsible. There was no halacha that you were responsible. They were forcing you to be responsible. If they were forcing you to be responsible,
I don't matter. It doesn't say they're forcing you to be responsible. It says they're also the shouting, and therefore you probably they weren't responsible, and therefore you should.
Okay, good. Good, good. What is the Rambam's lashon? Let's look at the Rambam's lashon carefully. You're right. Akum a'ano shehifkir chemtsoi tzu Yisrael, yodei Yisrael shem oven enyem mechaivo l'shalvo, right? They didn't force you to accept Achrayus. They're just going to force you to take Achrayus, as he points out. Correct. That is a good horror, and we'll come back to that in a moment.
I think perhaps that could show that other big now is called Dafka. Because these guys are crazy, they're
going
to make you pay.
No, I don't understand what you mean by crazy. They're not crazy.
They're going to make you pay regardless.
No, they're going to make you pay if it gets stolen or lost. They're not going to make you pay if something happens that was beyond anyone's ability to prevent. They're not unreasonable. They're just tough.
I mean, this could relate to the chiluk of the Lechem Mishnah between different kinds of onus.
What do you mean?
My commissioner says that the rabbi understood that the Rambam understood that the Bnei Chilar also onesed him to that they also forced him to keep the chametz in the first place, and he says that the Rambam only meant that they forced him to pay if it gets lost.
Right, and what and.
The discussion you're having now.
Yeah, it is true. The commission deals with, did they force you to take it, or did you take it willingly? They just force you to take a price. But in any case, I really don't understand. And you're right, if they force you to take it, then they're meaner. But I'm not makabel. It's what Tzvi says. The Rambam knows how to write onesim. He keeps saying nigna v'neva, nigna v'neva. You want to say nigna v'neva to feel onus? You'd think the Rambam should have clarified that. He knows that gneva v'neva is a concept. And it's probably reasonable to these soldiers. They're reasonable soldiers. They say, look, Alpi Din, you have to house the soldiers, right? You have to house the soldiers. Okay, so we're leaving our stuff in the house. If it gets stolen or lost, then everyone knows that the person, you should stop it from being stolen or lost. If it gets struck by lightning, if it gets, you know, burnt down in a fire, if an onus happens, if the river overflows, why would you hold me responsible? We're reasonable. So I'm not sure. Just because they are strong-armed doesn't mean they're unreasonable. In the old days of the mafia was reasonable. They were strong-armed, but they were reasonable. They wouldn't expect you to do something unreasonable. They just would expect you to do what they thought was reasonable, whether you liked it or not. So I'm not so convinced. Okay. Anyway, it says the Rambam based on Bnei Chela that it's even if they force you. Says the Ravid, he says that's ridiculous, not true, only if it's been a din. And what's his big raya? His big raya is the Gemara later that Rav Nachman says, when the Gemara says, go after Pesach. It was apparently, I guess, a Jewish place where they didn't have Jewish neighbors, so where are they going to get bread after Pesach? Go buy chametz from the soldiers. So go buy chametz from the soldiers. What does that mean? That means that the soldiers watch their own chametz over Pesach. If they were strong armed, then right. What does he say right here? He says, "How could if the soldiers were not willing to watch their own chametz, then they would have left it all in the Jews. The Jews would have burned it all, like Rava said. And how would there be anything to take from them?" So he says, okay, that's a proof that the soldiers were nice. They weren't forcing anyone anything. The Jews said, you know, it's a religious holiday. You have to take care of your own chametz for the next 8 days. And they were okay with that. Okay, it's not really such a good proof. Because A, even if they were forcing you, you could say, you push back and convince them to compromise. Or you could say that those were different soldiers than these. Not all soldiers are the same. You know, it's not the same person. That was Nachman, and this is Rava. Okay, in any case, here we have a machlokas. Let's just see who's on which side of the machlokas. How about Achrayos Shalom Minatin? So here we have the Rambam. Here we have the Ravid. Who agrees with the Rambam? What?
Rush.
The Rush agrees with the Rambam. Correct. Who agrees with the Ravid? That was on our Mikoros. Arimina David agrees with the Ravid. Who else? The Meiri, the Ramban, Rabbeinu David, the Maran Chalava. Okay, I think that's everyone on our Mikoros sheet. There are more, obviously, on each side. Interestingly, in the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the Rama. Even though it seems like more Rishonim disagreed. But in the Shulchan Aruch, we pass like the Rama.
He has a Ibn Giyat with him.
The Magen Mishnah quotes from the Ritz Giyas, as they say in the Welt. The Magen Mishnah also quotes from the Ritz Giyas, who also agrees with the Rama. Okay, good. The Ritz. No. Okay. I see that it is 1 o'clock. Obviously, someone just tell me what's the svara of the Ravid here? The svara of the Ravid is you need a formal kibbul achrayus. Okay, why do you need a formal kibbul? I mean,
in order for it to be considered yours, it's only when you are accepted of Shabbos, not somebody else.
Okay.
I suppose you assume that Shari is a kind of financial stake, so only financial stake that's recognized by Allah. I'll take care of financial stake.
Okay. Right, meaning, okay, so good. So this Raven, the truth is that, you know, you can see it in more than one way. Well, you could say, number one, only if, what's the Svara? Maybe you could say that we only recognize things that are Alpi Halacha, right? It's only Gorim Lamaman if it's Gorim Alpi Halacha. Okay, you could say, right, that it's only Goreng Lemamon if it's Alpi Halacha. Or I think you could say a sharper, which is what Yitz said. Okay, we're going to have to stop. Says Yitz, back to Rabbi Chana, right? It's only if it flows from your responsibility on the Chayfetz, if it flows from your relationship with this Chayfetz. If I have a Chayv Achrayis Min Adin, what does that mean? I took Achrayis for this Chayfetz. I agreed that I am the Achrayi, I'm responsible for this Chayfetz. If you're going to force me to pay, but I know practically I'm now, I better be responsible for this chayfetz, I'm going to lose money. But it doesn't flow from my relationship with this chayfetz. It flows from my relationship with you, right? For the fact that you're a strong arm. So I think you could say, I'll pee Rabbi Chanan. Maybe not, you know, this is based on what Rabbi Chanan says this, just in the context. Or, no, like the Rabbi Chanan, you could say that it's only Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh if the Achrayas flows from my relationship with this Chayfetz. Only if it flows from my relationship with this Chayfetz. If I have Achrayas Min Adin, if I have Achrayas Min Adin, then what does it mean? I am now responsible for this chayfetz. I have a connection to this chayfetz. I'm responsible for it. If you are going to make me pay, I have no chiv to pay. You're just going to steal from me. The fact that you're going to come steal from me later does not make me at all connected to this chayfetz. It's sort of like Pshiya Kamazik. Yes, the chayfetz will affect what happens to me. You know what? A lot of things will affect what happened to me. You know, it could be that if I have stock in a certain company, what the other company does will affect what happens to me. You know, clearly, if I have a certain company and it has one competitor, if the other competitor's factory burns down, that'll affect what happens to me. Okay, but that doesn't mean that I have any relationship with the other guy's factory. Everything affects, the butterfly flapping its wings in China affects a lot of things, right? That doesn't mean that I have any relationship with this guy. So the fact that you are going to, as Steve pointed out, it's not even that the guy forced me to take out Rhinus. The guy's going to force me to pay. Right now, I have no relationship with this Hefta. Later, you'll force me to pay. That doesn't give me a relationship with this Hefta. That just means you're going to gossip me. Practically, I have financial stake in this Hefta. But as Rav Chanan said, just because I have a practical financial stake in this Hefta doesn't mean whoever has a practical financial stake in the Hefta violates my role. I'll say only someone who has a financial stake out the Torah's relationship with the Hefta. Not someone who has a financial stake, but Torah something else. And here it's clearly but Torah something else. Okay, what is the Rambam going to say back? That is very, very controversial and very Nubia Lamaisa. And we'll have to pick up with that next time and get into the Dover Girl in a moment and then go on a little tomorrow. Okay, I apologize for not getting as far as I thought I would. If anyone has a quick question, they can ask, but then we have to give over the classroom. Okay, we're okay. If anyone has a slow question, they can ask.
On the Kolshah, so he actually wants to say that, going back to the beginning of Shul, he wants to say that Rashi Shita is that that if a person can't see it, then that alone would be a reason not to be over. So, and I just forgot about the fact that then he has to then do the Bal Yatman. He explains actually that Bal Yatman would just be, according to Rashi, just like a separate issue that's not
a Hatzman, only if you're a Matman. And here you weren't Matman.
Right. And so it has to be a Maisa
Yad,
and he brings that
up. A Maisa Hatzmana.
Right.
Which is, if you look at the Lashon Rashi and Hayyim, it's not bad.
Right.
I was thinking of that as well. That it's Mamish. There's two Isurim, Re'iyah and Hatzmana.
Right. And he actually brings that. He brings the whole connection to Nahal of Mapolet, like he connects it all together, and he says that it's like, you need to do a Maisa in order to be high, and that's why by Nahal of Mapolet, that's just Shita's Rashi.
By Nevelon, since it was mitzvah, but you weren't matmin it,
right.
Therefore, the...
And that's why I want to say that Shita's Rashi, like in the beginning of Pusha, it's like he's saying that in order of Balirah, he doesn't even...
And it's Pusha, it. You're...
Exactly.
That goes without saying.
Right.
Come on, map it's home.
Right.
I was thinking of that as well. It's a big fish.
Right, no, for sure.
It's
sure.
A big fish.
But it just fits very well with the Lashon Rashi. It's like Kshara Eiv. The only shot that makes Rashi Dafka into Kshara Eiv.
Kshara Eiv means you weren't mapping rolling. You weren't Matman.
Right.
And that's not even worth discussing. Like, you weren't Matman and you're never going to be Matman.
Right.
So nothing to talk about. You might be Roman.
Right. It's a big finish. But...
It's a big finish, yeah. I was thinking of that. And I was... Yeah, I was too timid to go that way.
Right.
But you're right. Then it's Mamish Pshuta Kashmal, and it's only a Maisach Tmona Mamish.
Right.
And that's a big finish. That, according to that... What's the big chiddush? The big chiddush is that it's not called lo yimotzi if you can see it, only if you're a matmin.
Right. Yeah.
Which is a big chiddush.
Right. Because he's saying that bal yirah then now informs us what the bal yimotzi means now, and it's mamish
correct.
Limiting it to just bal yirah.
Correct.
Right.
Which is possible, right? As he says, also lechahat mana, although he says also lechmana she'afi bechlal metziya. It's not that metziya is aser, it's bechlal. Since bechlal metziya, hatmana is aser. Yeah, I hear it's a big finish, so
right.
I wasn't,
right.
You know, I thought about it, but I was a little afraid. So, like Rosh Hashanah said it, I don't know, maybe now I'll think twice, but it's a big finish.
Right.